This is ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Over the course of the next hour, we'll delve into topics somewhat outside of sports, a public affairs show to pique your interest. This is Beyond Sports, only on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Beyond Sports on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Hannah Stanley with you, and today we are talking about a couple of different things involving medical care, nurses specifically. Joining me in studio, I have Arik and Chauncey. You heard them before when we were talking about men in nursing, men in healthcare in general, and I had to bring them back because there's some topics we didn't cover, and it's Nurses Week. Did you know that that was a thing?
Yeah.
Okay, actually, I knew who you did. I was talking to that.
Oh, sorry. Chauncey, did you know we have Nurses Week?
I do now.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
All right, well, if you at home did not know there's a Nurses Week, it is, and today is part of it. This is the beginning of it, I believe, and it continues until Florence Nightingale's birthday, and I think on the 12th, no? Yeah. All right, so see how this works. Joining me in studio, as I mentioned before, Arik and Chauncey, happy Nurses Week to you both.
Thank you.
Florence
is really hard to buy for. Can I just say that? It's her birthday. Well, never know what to get her.
A Florence in the Machine, maybe DVD or a CD. I don't know. Download. I don't know. All right. iTunes gift card. Candlesticks. Candlesticks always make a nice present.
That's right.
Okay. So maybe a place setting. See where she's registered. It's a sports station. I had to quote Bill Durham. All right. For Nurses Week, when we've had you guys on before, we've talked about men being in nursing and how those numbers are increasing, which is great because you guys have talked about it. It's an incredibly physical and demanding career. And while it has, maybe because of Florence Nightingale, been kind of a stereotypical woman's job, mm-hmm. That's very much changing. And you guys are no longer, you're still a little bit in the minority, but each year it gets better, no?
Well, it's funny because actually Florence is kind of someone who's known for doing something that's very non-feminine, I think, in her time when she was very focused on research and why the things worked that did and why the things that weren't working obviously weren't working very well. So I think when you kind of look at it from that, you know, aspect, that's why she's such a big deal in the history of our profession. It really changed how patient care is delivered.
All right, because tell me some of the things that she was doing, because I feel like she was the one who was like washing hands and cleanliness and stuff.
Right. Okay. Yep. I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was the Crimean War, where mm-hmm. she spent most of her time really taking great notes and writing down, if we did X, Y, and Z, and the patient outcome was this, if we continue to do those three things, will we continue to have the same outcome? And it's basically the basis of nursing information research. And it's what we do a lot still today, obviously a little bit more technology now than handwritten notes, but it was that kind of idea that we can take a pattern of care and really alter the outcome of a disease process. And that, I think, is one of the biggest things that she added to our field. So it is right to celebrate her birthday, and it's great that Nurses Week is kind of focused around that.
All right.
I mean, she was really the first one that a lot of things that we take as common, you know, for granted as being common sense with medical care, at the time weren't, such as washing your hands, like you mentioned, or basically keeping a clean environment. Florence Nightingale, you know, when you read some of her writings, she talks about, you know, making sure the bed linens are changed and the wound dressings are changed regularly and patients have enough room and space spread out from each other and fresh air and sunlight and getting them up and mobile and walking as much as possible. And, you know, those are all things that now washing your hands, you know, keeping, as clean an environment as possible, getting patients mobile to prevent a whole host of problems that that a patient can risk whenever they're immobile, such as blood clot formation and higher risk of pneumonia and respiratory infections from being bedridden. Those were all things that she started discovering, because whenever she was doing these things, she didn't realize at the time maybe the processes that were at work on a, you know, like on a cellular level or a micro level, but she, you know, understood that these things were leading to less soldier deaths, less amputations, less infections. and really paved the way for modern medicine.
All right. So things like you said, we take for granted, clean linens and keeping patients a little bit further away from each other. So you're not having a cross contamination
yeah.
and you're not having bacteria and microbes and everything fester and live and grow on these mm-hmm. sheets that these patients are laying on. Yeah, that's something that just makes sense. But I also had two of my grandmas, both of them were nurses. So like we always had the window open. It could be freezing, snowing, icing, horrid outside. Mm-hmm. And there was a window cracked in the house because you had to have the fresh air.
That's right.
And also colder temperatures usually keep some things from growing.
Right. So, oh, no. She was. Yeah. Especially if we're sick, she would have 1,000 blankets on us, but the window was open. So like you'll be fine.
As long as you weren't directly under it.
No, probably. We were totally. Yeah. We were, I'm OK. I lived. It's fine. But it is very interesting to me that a woman in particular, uh-huh. while she was being a caregiver, also was kind of developing her own scientific method to figure out what worked and what didn't. And how she could make things better in the future, because that's not necessarily what women were doing at that time.
No, not at all. And I think it's, you know, it's so interesting to see where we've come with that, because just recently I had the chance to go to a convention here in Chicago about health informatics. And one of the first things I saw when I walked into the building was this new hand sanitizing station that actually can sense who is walking past it and not washing their hands. So,
and then it yells at you.
Yeah.
I have to have one yes. for home. How can I get one of these?
So you're, you know,
I will chip my children. I will do it.
I don't think we're far from that happening, okay. to be honest. I mean,
we're getting there.
I know.
All right. but no, that's fantastic.
It's amazing. So that there is a chip in your hospital ID or wherever you work, and it does sense that you've gone past it. It senses that there has not been an activation of the pump itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it logs those two events and then finds the disconnect to say, we could be doing so much better on transmission rates of illnesses if we could improve how much we're washing our hands. And it is something we all say that we do, and we're getting a lot better with infection control policies of putting those sanitation stations in easy reach. But like, just to think that within the space of a couple of hundred years, we've come from someone saying, maybe before surgery, we should all wash our hands, mm-hmm. to now having the ability to say, I know for a fact that you're not doing it. And the patients you interacted with have had these outcomes.
And have a higher risk of cross-contamination because of whose room you were in the last time.
Well, yeah, especially whenever you think about, you know, you think about the setting you're in, you have 20 to 30 to 40 people all suffering different ailments or possible illnesses in the same confined space of maybe 50 yards. So that's a really great environment for something to for a microbe, a pathogen to spread. And that's why it's so important to have, you know, hand washing really is the most effective way to transmit, you know, to prevent the transmission of a pathogen. Outside of that, covering your mouth when you cough, because those are just the common ways they're transmitted. And it's like Arik said, we have come a long way, because if, you know, you look back in Civil War times, surgeons wore their scalpels on their belts. They'd walk around all day and just have the belt. And then when it was time for the next operation,
I cut myself, rub some dirt on it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, they just wash it off and be like, all right, who's up on the table next? And that's why you had, you know, such, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80%, you know, rates of post-surgical death. Most soldiers actually survived the amputation in that time period, or survived the bullet removal, but then would die of infection. And that's been the way it was for a lot of your major conflicts and wars up until, you know, modern medicine kind of took more of a grip.
See, people, this is why we celebrate Florence Nightingale's birthday with a Nurses Week. And this is why we have nurses in to educate us during Nurses Week as well. We are going to talk to both of you guys coming up in the show. And so I want to make sure we cover this before we take a break. Both of you have a really interesting background. Your personal stories are quite interesting, and they intersect on different things. We want to make sure we talk about traumatic brain injuries and PTSD. And both of those are important and have become more important and more widely realized in the past 5 to 10 years. One, because we've got military in conflict who are coming back to us. wonderfully. They're living with greater and greater numbers and percentages, but they're coming back to us then with injuries we haven't been used to seeing and injuries that you can't see, which is what we're going to talk about when we come back. Hannah Stanley here with Chauncey and Arik. It's Nurses Week. Go celebrate. Be excited. Tell nurses how much you appreciate them. Buy them coffee. Things like that. Hannah Stanley here, Beyond Sports, ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.